If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
Hello and welcome to Phoning It In, the improvised phone-in show. My name is Dave Coffey. The usual phone lines are open, so get calling. We're going to kick things off this week with our topic of the week. This week we're talking about dodgy publicans. Felix, you were barred from your local by a dodgy publican, is that right?
Hi Dave, yeah, I was. I've been drinking in that pub for 20 years now.
20 years, 20, oh my goodness.
20 years, and I would say probably about maybe 3 or 4 times a week, you know.
How many pints would you have?
I would probably have about 3 pints during the weekdays, and Maybe when the weekends, I'd up it a little bit, maybe...
7 or 8 pints?
I would say maybe 15, 16.
16 in a night?
Well, yeah, talking about the weekends.
Yeah, you know, the weekends. About, yeah. You know, no,
there's Friday, Saturdays, Sunday afternoon.
Sure. Kind of no judgment. And that's a lot of money you've been spending for 20 years. So you've poured a lot of money into this. What's the name of the pub?
The pub is, it's called Barracks.
Barracks.
Yeah. It's a pub that's inside the army barracks.
Oh, okay, right. I didn't know you were allowed to go into the
army. You're not as a civilian, but...
Oh, you're a military man?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
I had an uncle who was. And
oh, okay. Yeah. Get you in the door, yeah. And so why were you barred by this dodgy publican then?
Well, I mean, the publican in question, obviously, he's an army man, and there are certain things that they don't accept on their premises. For example, threats of war.
Oh, were you threatened war, did you?
He affronted me of a Tuesday evening when I was just having a few pints trying to watch the game.
Three or four,
and
yeah.
And I in a moment of, now I was only messing, Dave, you have to understand, I was messing, and I told him as much, I told him I was joking with him, and I said that I was going to launch jihad upon them, and he didn't take it very well at all, and...
Jihad, now that's a holy war, isn't it?
Yeah, I by dictionary definition, I think it is actually.
Why were you declaring a jihad on the military there, in the barracks?
Because the snooker was on.
Yeah.
He kept standing in the way of the television.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him to move many times. He kept saying things to me. Why are you here? Are you in the army? Are you in any way involved with the Irish Armed Services?
Yeah.
And I said, no. You know my uncle. He didn't know my uncle, actually. Well, my uncle, he died. He died on a peacekeeping mission in Chad a couple of years ago.
But, okay.
So really, I suppose at this stage my connection was tenuous. But the fact of the matter was that the snooker was on and he was being quite bolshy with me.
But why a holy war specifically? Because the rest of it makes perfect sense.
Dave, it just came out of the top of my head. And I said it to him, and the words were out. And then I realised...
You couldn't take it back.
I was surrounded by soldiers. None of them had guns, obviously, because they're all off duty. They're just having a few pints in the barracks, you know.
Yeah, guns and pints don't mix, generally.
No, well, I had a gun, but none of the rest.
You had a gun? What were you doing with a gun?
Well, I figured that I needed to have a gun while I was going drinking in the barracks in order to kind of lull them into thinking that I was indeed a certified army
military
man.
Right.
Yeah.
So obviously, when you kicked off this jihad, then you had the advantage because you were the only one that was armed.
I had a gun. I trained it on him, the barman / soldier. I don't know what his rank was. Rank of being a dickhead now, if you ask me, to be honest.
Okay, wait. He's going to join us to have his say in a minute, so you might want to watch your words. You trained the gun on him, and then what happened?
I didn't train it. I kind of waved it in a kind of gesticulating way. You know, I was trying to make my point. You know what I mean? I only came in for a couple of quiet pints in the evening.
Yeah.
I've sank thousands, maybe even millions of euros into that place over the years.
Probably not millions, but yeah.
Probably. Well, the pints are cheap. It's why I drink there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, certainly thousands, you know.
Well, at least thousands, yeah. And, you know, I just kind of felt like I was part of the furniture at this point, Dave.
Fair enough.
And for many years, they have believed me to be a military man because they see me coming in with a gun.
And a uniform?
And I also, I wear kind of, you know, camo gear.
Camo gear, yeah.
Not the exact same stuff, but stuff that kind of looks like it, you know what I mean? Kind of
one of these lads who'd head off to Ukraine. He's not really in the army, but he's got some stuff out of the army reserves.
That is me to a T.
Right, okay, great. Well, listen, I want to bring in the publican in question, Major Lee Moody. Major, why did Well, what's your take on this? Why did you bar this man who's been a regular loyal customer for 20 years?
Well, Dave, to be perfectly honest with you now, Felix hasn't paid a tab in my pub for at least 13 years.
Oh, right. Okay. He left that out.
Yes.
So he hasn't paid for a drink in 13 years.
Unless somebody else is buying them for him.
Right. So this threat of jihad was the straw that broke the camel's back type thing, or?
It really was. Now, he's scraping the bottom of the keg here.
Right, yeah.
You want to hear the things that this geezer comes out with. Dave, you couldn't write it.
Yeah, yeah.
And screaming and shouting, people blocking the telly. He doesn't even understand snooker. It was the same with the darts tournament.
Right.
He hasn't a notion.
What do you mean he doesn't understand it?
He's screaming and shouting at the television. Sure, yeah. He doesn't even understand the game.
The rules, like.
He doesn't understand. Just using any opportunity. Kicking, screaming, throwing pints all over the place. I've had it. He got one camo jacket in Army Bargains in 1995.
Yeah.
And he hasn't shut up about the war ever since. Yeah. Saw a Full Metal Jacket once.
Right.
He's been on opiates ever since.
I've seen that film twice, actually.
Okay, well, Felix, you left out this. You haven't paid for a pint in 13 years, and you know, it sounds like you've been causing trouble in this place for a long time.
I haven't been causing trouble. If anything, much like my uncle before me, I see myself as being kind of a bit of a peacekeeper. You know what I mean?
What about not paying for your pints?
Well, it was on my uncle's tab, I thought.
Yeah, but he's dead.
Yeah, oh, he's been dead a good long while now.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that was,
Like a pension?
Almost like a pension, I suppose. But I just thought, you know, like for the family, you know, if you're a soldier who dies, your family can drink in the barracks all the time.
A family pension.
Day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that not the case, Major, now?
It certainly isn't,
well,
Dave.
It sounds very reasonable to me.
Felix, you know, he's one of these characters in the town. He's been knocking around for a really long time. And I mistakenly...
Hang on now, Major. His uncle gave his life... Did he die over in Chad, was it?
He died in Chad, yeah.
He gave his life for this country.
During a peacekeeping mission.
In a peacekeeping mission.
Felix will tell you.
Is he not entitled to a few pints?
He's entitled to a few pints, like everybody else. But I tell you what he's not entitled to.
Right.
Upending my pub and waging war against paying customers.
Mm.
Other elderly people in the area that are just in for a quiet carvery and a few shandies.
You know, you did wave a gun around, Felix.
It was an army pub, Dave. I just thought I was getting into the spirit.
Yeah,
of things,
yeah. Do people still drink shandies? I feel like I haven't heard about a shandy
this
in a
morning.
Have you? Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They do, and actually, they're quite nice.
Yeah.
Very fizzy.
Yeah, a larger shandy. Yeah, I feel like I haven't heard anyone mention drinking a shandy since kind of the early 90s.
So I suppose.
Takes me back.
Very big on the army scene, Dave, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Boys be, you know, they be clocking off work and they need to hop into their tank and drive home. And,
yes.
You know, you couldn't really be too...
That's true.
Too fluter doing it,
you know? You'd have three or four shandies and you'd be able to drive the tank home, all right.
You know yourself, Dave, just army culture, you know.
That's Well, look, guys, doesn't feel like we're getting any closer to a solution here. Felix, it sounds like you're not going to get back into the army bar. Do you have somewhere else you can drink?
I'm barred from every other pub in town, Dave. That's why the barracks has been my last recourse for the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, see, that does make me think that maybe you are the problem here. You know, if you're getting barred from that many pubs.
Dave, why would I, a simple drinking man, cause trouble in an army barracks bar, of all places? Surely that'd be the last place I'd try and kick off.
Well, you would think, but then you did declare jihad on everyone, so...
It was just a turn of phrase.
I know, but it doesn't sound good for getting you back in there. Major, what if he paid off his 13-year tab? Would that get him back in?
Well, you know, I've always admired his carefree spirit and his can-do attitude. You know, you have to hand it to him, Dave. His imagination is off the bloody charts.
Yeah.
I would be willing
to
let half of the tab go, maybe. And Felix, maybe you could do a bit of security on the door or something.
You don't have to ask me twice.
Well, he's got the gun, so that's a help.
We could swap the gun out for a pool cue or something.
Okay, well, look.
We could talk.
That's
great.
The
gun isn't even real, it's actually. It's a replica. They wouldn't
give me... Bloody well, glad to hear.
Yeah, same here. That's great, guys. Look, this is what the show's all about, bringing people back together. So thank you both for phoning it in. I'm going to move on to another caller now. Brian is on the line. Brian, your dad is a publican and you think he's putting something in the pints.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's hard for me to talk about. I come from a long line of publicans. We have a very proud tradition. But just recently, I'm noticing a lot of people are kind of dropping to their knees and passing out.
After they have a pint?
After they have a pint, specifically, like, yeah. And I just, you know...
Just one pint or...
A sip, really, Dave, if I'm to be totally honest,
so
yeah.
So they take a sip, they drop to the knees and they pass out.
Yeah, and look, I know, look, I'm not an idiot. Every bar has a certain mortality rate and that's part of the business. You know, I'm not a fool. But
you know, alcohol is a dangerous drug.
It is. But a sip, Dave, you know, and I'm starting to think...
Wait, are these people dying?
They are dying,
so
Dave.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh,
sip. Sorry, when I say drop to the knees, and dying,
I thought you
Dave.
Meant
yeah,
just
yeah.
It was maybe knocking them out.
Yeah, and it's starting to draw. I mean, you should see the TripAdvisor reviews. Like, we're way down the charts.
Imagine,
we were never that
imagine.
High, Dave, but we were in the mix.
Yeah, yeah. Well, beforehand, was it like some people liked it, some people didn't?
Yeah, it was kind of like, yeah, my Coors Light had a match.
Floating in it.
Yeah,
that's not great.
And it was on with the Coors Light as well. I don't know.
That would have been one of the negative reviews.
That would have been one of the middling reviews. The negative ones, generally kind of were fairly litigious, Dave. So, you know.
Oh, are they still actively in court?
Yeah,
stuff?
Yeah,
okay.
We won't get
mired in that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the deaths. How many people have died drinking pints, would you say?
Seven.
Okay, it's not great, but
That was last night, Dave.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Which was weird, like there were seven corpses taken out.
Yeah.
I think we had about five in the pub, so I don't know what's happening, to be honest. I have seen my father out the back with the kegs kind of soldered open.
Okay.
And he's got a big spoon and he's kind
like
of menacingly
kind of.
Yeah. And he's kind of cackling and...
it doesn't sound good for him.
He started printing stuff out about Beelzebub,
right?
And how to kind of summon him.
Yeah, he's one of the lords of hell.
He would be
like
one of the big
demons.
Yeah, the big heads.
He's high up there.
Yeah. He's trying to summon him. Look, this is what I can gather. So he's been putting stuff these kind of bags, these black bags of. Of different, what would you say, I suppose, different kind of, what looks like salt.
Oh, okay.
It could be anything, Dave.
Yeah, like poison or...
Yeah, and there is just, there's kind of a blue light emitting from it.
From
the
salt?
It's kind of putting people off as well.
Or from the pints?
From the concoction that he's putting together. And then what he does is he kind of funnels it back in.
Into the lines, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Into the Bulmers, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's
only the Bulmers?
It's the Bulmers so far.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
anyone
right.
who has a Bulmers is generally biting the dust.
Right. And so when you said that there were seven people died last night, everyone in the pub had drank Bulmers?
Everyone had. Look, I'll actually talk it through, Dave. So
because you said only five came in, but seven.
I know,
were
seven
dead.
Were actually, yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's possible that they. I'll tell you what happens. They have a sip of the pint, and next thing their eyes kind of roll to the back of their heads, and they say stuff like, you know, prepare for the coming of the Dark Lord.
Okay,
he will rise again.
Okay.
He will have vengeance.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. And then it kind of goes into a kind of a speaking in tongues. Might be Latin. I don't know, Dave. I only did the junior. But essentially, then they drop to the floor and a kind of a black liquid emits from them. And some of them will actually run around kind of very, very quickly at speeds that no human should really be at. And they might bite you. They have bitten me.
Right.
And they wouldn't normally do that.
No,
they wouldn't. That would be very unusual.
For your regular customers or whatever.
Yeah, well, Darren might do that sometimes, that's his own thing.
How are the bites looking, Brian?
Septic.
Yeah.
Septic and pulsating.
Have you gotten any treatment on those? Or?
I've lost a leg, Dave. Sorry, I feel like I should have said it up front. It has gotten to a very bad place. I have lost a leg. The doctor said that you know it was the only way that my whole body might be salvageable, but it's kind of growing. My thigh now is black.
Yeah.
I have had thoughts about the Dark Lord, positive ones, and
you think that's related to the bites?
Yeah. No, I think it's good. He's coming back, Dave. To be honest.
Okay.
He's going to do. What's he going to do? Stuff. I mean, I think he's going to just generally better the place. He's definitely going to make the pub nicer. He might do a bit of renovation.
Right.
He will. he will kill the non-believers, which I think is good. And he'll probably destroy this corrupt society.
Yeah, yeah, reign of terror.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah,
skies will blacken.
So I'm pretty pro Beelzebub at this moment. Okay, I mean, ask me later, but right now, I think he's a great asset.
Okay, well, let's get Pat, your dad, on the line. Pat, what do you say about this? This was a bit worrying for some of our listeners. Beelzebub and
No, I think, you know, there might be a bit of a wrong end of the stick, really, with it. To be honest, it's just a little cross promotional thing that we're trying out. The good folks at Bulmers really saw a market for Satanists who like cider. What they've been doing is kind of piloting this whole new brand called Beelzebulmers.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And we've been trying it out in the pub for, the last week or so. And yes, unfortunately, some people have died.
Some people? All the people?
Not all. Just those whose souls are not strong enough to take the coming of the Dark Lord.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So this is a promotion from Bulmers. Is Beelzebub, is he going to return? Is that part of the deal?
That's very much the end game.
Okay, so it's not really about selling a load of cider to Satanists.
It's about selling cider to Satanists, but it's also about, creating the kind of, fun, interactive atmosphere that will facilitate the return of the Dark Lord.
I know what you mean. It's like one of these experiential marketing campaigns.
You walk in, a Ouija board's people running around it at the highest speeds you could ever imagine.
your son mentioned that.
Parts of their body.
That's
just
fun, yeah.
Just completely disintegrating. absolute.
It sounds like a hoot.
Bad crack game.
It sounds it would be great around Halloween. Is there any particular reason they decided to do it this time of year?
Well, this is cider drinking weather, Dave. As you well know, we figured Halloween. It's a little.
It's saturated.
It's a bit done, we just kind of feel like there's room for the Dark Lord in every season.
That's true. That's fair. And I suppose you guys, you've been facing competition from Orchard Thieves since they came into the market. You'd know.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel that they're presenting this very kind of sanitized, almost very Christian, and as you probably know yourself, Dave, most of Orchard Thieves funding comes from evangelical groups in the United States.
Is that right?
Yes. So
I did wonder why you'd see the priest blessing the vans as they come out of the brewery.
Always, and
it's holy cider.
I don't know if you've been to a church anytime recently, but
I try to avoid them.
Well, when the wine that the priest would drink, not wine. Just Orchard Thieves.
Orchard Thieves now.
Yeah,
they've cornered that market.
They have, so we're kind of cornering the market, I suppose, for
evil
Satanists who just love a bit of cider in the summer.
Evil.
And absolute sheer bloody-minded evil.
Okay, well, listen, it's great to hear that this kind of stuff is going on. I love a cider myself, a big cider fan. So just before we wrap up, do you want to address the match that was floating in the Coors Light? Or
that staff member has been
taken care of.
I would go as far as to say became part of the brew, if you know what I mean. Fell in the bath. had a little accident, Dave.
I'll steer clear.
It won't
course.
Happen again, I promise.
I'll steer clear of the Coors Light if I come in. Okay, guys, great to talk to you. Excited to try the Beelzebulmers. Thanks so much for phoning it in. I'm going to move on to some other callers now. Dominic, your collection of medieval weapons has gone missing. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Dave.
What weapons are we talking about here?
I'm talking about a little Swiss Army knife. I'm talking about a jigsaw. I'm talking about a bodkin. And I'm talking about a carpet trimmer.
Some of those don't sound very medieval to me.
Well, were you there?
No, but I mean, the Swiss Army knife, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I don't know if the Swiss Army was around in medieval times or if they had jigsaws.
Well, these are like home fashioned
Do you know what I mean? This is the sort of medieval equivalent.
Because if I start lashing around their real names, your head will explode.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Thanks for that, Dominic. So the medieval Swiss Army knife, what has it got on it?
Tiny little mace.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
actually mad cute.
Yeah.
And then a little thing what pops out. And it's like a minuscule little chainmail vest.
Oh, that's very cute.
Yeah, it's like the size for a mouse. You take it and then you unravel it and then you put it on.
Oh, and it does fit a person?
Yeah.
Oh, right. So
it's like one of those shopping bags that wraps down real small.
Yes. Well, their technology was better than we give them credit for.
Yeah,
okay, so you had this amazing collection of medieval weapons. Any idea where it might have gone or who might have taken it?
I put it in a little hidey hole in the gaff, and there's no way on God's green earth that anyone else would have been able to find it, except for one person.
Who's that?
Me brother.
Right, so you think your brother might have taken them?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
His name is Joe.
Joe. Why would Joe have taken your medieval weapons, do you think?
Jealousy.
Mm.
Unresolved trauma.
From?
Childhood.
What happened to John? Sorry, I don't know. I'm laughing. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah. You just mean general kind of trauma, like.
Yeah, he's off his bracket, Dave, and he's always been so jealous of my arsenal. Yeah. And he was always trying to get at me things, get at me merch. And like, I know damn well he's probably doing something weird with them on Facebook Live or one of them. It's all attention seeking.
Okay, well, let's get him on the line, Joe.
How's it going, Dave?
Joe, did you steal Dominic's weapons?
No, of course not. I have no interest whatsoever in the mad shit that she's coming out. The point is, she's always been jealous.
Your brother Dominic.
Yeah. My brother Tom, I call her she. It's just a thing we do.
Oh, okay.
To be fair, it's affectionate.
Just to wind him up.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. The reality is... he's just jealous that I have a passion that I was doing way before the bespoke medieval jewellery or whatever they call it. I do Renaissance jumpers.
Right.
And she just got it into her head that she was going to take a rival historical period and do something that was equally incongruous with it. But my Renaissance jumpers sell for millions online.
So these are actual jumpers that were made during the Renaissance?
Well, no, because they didn't have jumpers back then, Dave. But they're more jumpers that have Renaissance things on them.
Okay, like what?
Like an old painting with good understanding of the anatomy. Like mead, the drink.
Is
soaked into the fibres.
Yeah. Not the county.
No, not the county. No, because the mead was only invented in the Gothic period.
Right.
Of course. What else do you have? Kind of old lutes and stuff like that. Yeah. And
those sound great. Where can I get those?
They're online. They're on renaissancejumpers.org.uk.
Okay.
.or, just the letter R.
Just the letter R.
Yeah, because there was another one I had to... Okay. Yeah.
You got to stick a few extra dots on.
But I have no intention of stealing any kind of Swiss Army knife bollocks that he's putting together. And frankly, I find the whole thing really weird. Did he tell you about the little mouse chainmail thing?
Yeah, but it rolls out and then it fits over a person.
Yeah, that's disgusting. I've seen that. I've seen a tutorial she puts up how you use them. And the mouse was very unhappy. And everyone who saw that video got sick.
Got sick. Right.
No, they didn't.
Dominic.
They did. They got sick in their mouth.
Dominic, your brother Joe is vehemently denying that he had anything to do with stealing your weapons. Is it possible someone else took them?
I highly doubt it, Dave. Do you think you could believe somebody that talks with that filth coming out of their mouth? He wouldn't know Leonardo da Vinci if he came up behind them and fucking brutalised them.
Right.
He wouldn't.
Yeah.
He knows nothing about the Renaissance. He knows nothing about the Enlightenment. He can't even read.
Well, and he knew enough to set up his website.
We did, and actually...
renaissancejumpers.org.uk.
The word, the letter, or.
See, you can't believe a that word out of his mouth.
And I know all about Leonardo da Vinci. I watched Blood Diamond last night.
So. Now, he thinks he's being funny now, but you will not make me laugh.
All you need to laugh is take a look at that knife thing. Do you know what else comes out of it?
What?
Do you know what actually comes out of it? Is a catapult from Dennis the Menace, which is totally not from that period.
It's a slingshot, you fool. Oh my God, you're embarrassing yourself on live on the radio. It's
says
a slingshot.
Dennis the Menace on it. You're just basically going through the bins and sticking on whatever you can.
Yeah, there's very enterprising, unlike
whereas
you.
My Renaissance jumpers are actually accurate to the period.
Well, you said they didn't have jumpers back then.
No, but the jumper itself, but everything within it, the jumper is Renaissance based.
And the jumpers are mad itchy, and nobody wants to buy them,
thank you.
They're
not itchy.
But they definitely would have had slingshots in the Middle Ages.
No, but it's not. It's a Dennis the Menace branded catapult. Okay. It literally came free with the Beano in 1998.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because take care of me things, okay?
Okay,
yeah,
but that's not authentic though, Dominic. That's if it's from the Beano or whatever.
Dave, I was just trying to make a few sad quid, okay?
Yeah.
And I hang on to me things. I keep me belongings in check.
Yeah.
I've painted it. I made a mould over. I've recast it many times. You wouldn't know.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, it's your business.
I could show you, only it's been bleeding, stroked.
Yeah. Joe, you've no idea who might have taken the weapons?
No, I can't imagine another human being wanting it, never mind stealing it or buying it for that matter. Did you tell the name of your website?
No, I haven't got... I haven't gotten as far to plugging it yet, Joe. I haven't.
What's your website, Dominic?
Mousechainmail.ie.
Oh, well, that's easy to remember. Do you sell a lot of mouse chain mail?
Would you believe I don't? But I was hoping that coming onto the air with you this morning might help. Help boost me sales and help somebody find me prototype lost without it.
It certainly can't hurt. You've gotten the name of the website out there now. Hopefully you will get some interest from this call. I wish you well. I hope you can find your weapons. Could you create a new mouse chainmail if you can't find the prototype?
Dave, I don't think you realise just how long it has taken me to fashion.
Yeah.
This, I've put my life's work into it.
Yeah, yeah.
My marriage is dissolved.
Surely
my kids are gone.
You must know how to recreate it. Like, you were going to make more of them, right?
Yeah, I was saving up for a 3D printer. If I could just get a few quid together,
right,
I would be able to fashion another one.
Well, Joe's got a few quid. He's doing great with the old jumpers. Maybe he'd give you like a business loan.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I came on this show, Dave, to
3D print some jumpers.
Yes, I mean, look, that is a patented thing that I would have to go through. You know, I have a board of directors this website.
It's complicated.
You know, it's not just for me to come on.
It's my uncle and my ma.
Well, whatever.
They're
still
board of directors.
Yeah.
They're not on your board anyway.
Yeah.
I came here to extend an olive branch. I would be willing to go halves on a 3D printer.
You what?
A 3D printer. I would be willing to invest a 45% stake in mousechainmail.ie.
Okay.
Joe,
I'm suddenly turned into Dragon's Den now. Okay, what do you say to that, Linda? Linda, sorry. What do you say to
what?
That, Dominic?
Dominic says, thank you so much, Joe. God, me heart. It's expanded.
Okay,
45% though of gross income I would need.
Wait, I thought you wanted 45% of the company.
You're putting
the income
ideas
of the company,
there,
all the good stuff, of the company, That's
well, listen, maybe we could meet up, have a few scoops, and talk this whole thing out.
Yeah, you can iron out the finer details of the deal, but it sounds like you've got a deal on the table, which is the important thing. I wish you both the best of luck with your websites, mousechainmail.ie and renaissancejumpers.org.uk or the letter or.
That's the letter or,
maybe you could throw in a jumper with the Last Supper on it or something for me.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. Okay, guys, thank you so much for phoning it in. As I'm sure you know, Phoning It In is just one of the many excellent podcasts on the Headstuff Podcast Network. Here's a little teaser for another one you should definitely check out.
Fad Camp is a comedy podcast about the ridiculousness of fad diets and diet culture, hosted by me, Grace Mulvey.
And me, Connor Dowling. If you have a body of any kind, chances are you've crossed paths with at least one of the bizarre diet trends we cover in our show.
And between me and Connor, we have done nearly every fad diet there is.
Juice cleansing.
Fasting.
The potato diet.
Which is actually a real diet, by the way, and we don't recommend it.
So join us as we try to make sense of the madness that is diet culture.
Find Fad Camp everywhere you get your podcasts and make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Fad Camp Podcast.
Do you like this podcast and want to support the show? If so, please tell some friends about it. Do a little tweet or an Insta story about us. If you can afford it, you can also support the show financially through Headstuff Plus. For a small monthly fee, you'll get access to a heap of bonus content from every single show on the network. That includes new bonus episodes of this show, which are released every other week. So please head on over to Headstuff Plus and sign up today. Have you ever heard of the Irish royal family? Huh? Well, my guest in the studio claims to be a direct descendant of Rory O'Connor, the last High King of Ireland, and as such considers himself the rightful heir to the throne. Welcome to the show, His Royal Highness King Pony O'Connor. Pony, or Your Royal Highness, I mean.
Thanks very much, Dave.
Now, how is it that we've never heard of this Irish royal family before? This is news to me.
Well, as you know, Dave, you know, we live in a country of begrudgers. And,
yes, we do.
I figure me being the King of Ireland and, of course, my family being the royal family of Ireland, we'd be subject to all sorts of begrudgery. So what we kind of do is we play it very quiet. We roam our estates. Mm-hmm. We hunt our elks.
Yeah.
Which we still have within our estates. You might consider them to be an extinct animal, but we've managed to preserve them.
Yeah.
Elks, unicorns, dodos.
Oh, wow, you got all those.
We hunt them all every day. And
sorry, where are these estates?
I can't tell you, Dave.
Right.
But what I will say is somewhere in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
somewhere in the south of Ireland,
okay,
and somewhere in the west of Cork.
Right, okay. Well, that has narrowed it down a little bit.
Not as much as you think, Dave.
No, it's still a big part of the country. So you've got an estate in West Cork.
Yes.
You hunt elk and unicorns and dodo. Why now then? Why are you coming forward now to go public?
Well, to be honest, Dave, what we're trying to do really with the Irish royal family is kind of build a bit of a public profile. Because as you can see, over in the UK at the moment, the Queen is quite frankly on her last legs. There's a couple of nonces roaming around.
I mean,
the rest of them are just generally ineffective. So okay. what we're planning, Dave, is if we
no disrespect to any of the British royal family.
I absolutely disrespect the British royal family, Dave, and I think it's very important that I need to state this now so that when your one pops her clogs and is on her way, we can kind of swoop in and, you know, basically invade the UK.
Okay. All right. Okay. So this is, that's a big deal. You're going to wait till Queen Elizabeth has died and then you're going to invade. Now, we famously don't have a great army here. We were talking to one of its members earlier.
Well, what I would like to do is to make a pledge to the Irish Armed Forces that we will grant them the use of 1,000 elk.
Oh, okay, yeah. To do what? Eat
and numerous deer.
Yeah, okay.
Many 7-foot-tall Irish wolfhounds.
7-foot-tall, wow,
yeah.
Okay.
So, basically, any of those animals are at their disposal. And these are animals, of course, that people haven't seen in many years.
Yeah,
and would consider to be extinct.
Yes. But what are they going to do with the animals? Like, how's that going to help them?
I think they will literally ride them into Buckingham Palace.
Into Buckingham Palace. Okay,
yeah.
Now, do you think it might be a mistake, like, making these plans known in advance? You're going to give the enemy the chance to ready themselves.
Well, I have, Dave, to be honest, I did a lot of research. My people did a lot of research and we discovered that the British royal family don't actually listen to this show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But if somebody in the UK who's loyal to the state, to the royals, if they heard it, they might contact and let them know.
I personally think, Dave, that they just wouldn't believe them. They'd be going, "Ha, Irish royal family. Yeah, right. Where have they been all these years?" But that's where we'll get them, Dave.
That's true, actually. I don't know if I would believe it if you weren't sitting here in studio with me with your resplendent in your crown and robes.
Thank you, my loyal subject.
I have a caller on the line who wants to talk to you. His name is Spuds McSorley. Spuds claims that he's the true heir to the throne. How's that, Spuds?
Hiya, Dave. Well, basically, when me nanny was on her deathbed, she said to me that there was a family secret that they had to tell me, and it turns out that I am actually the High King of Ireland.
Right. So, your granny or your mother had an affair with the king or something, was it? Or the previous king?
The previous king, yeah.
Rory, Pony's dad. Yeah.
His dad, yeah.
Right, so because you were the firstborn son, then that makes you next in line.
I am next in line, but they don't answer any emails from me. They don't answer any of the letters from me.
Yeah.
And I can't even get send a call me. No calls. Come on, Dave.
Call me. I forgot about call me. Yeah. Okay, well, look, do you have any proof to back this up, Spuds?
I have a few photographs in the house.
Okay.
Of
Pony's dad and your mum?
Yeah. Okay. They went to Tremor and they were on the Walters.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
They're holding hands.
Well, that's pretty damning evidence. Pony, what do you say to this?
Oh, Dave, this ordeal has been going on for years with these McSorleys.
You're aware of Spuds?
I am. I'm aware of their claim on the throne.
Okay.
And I don't agree with it.
Right.
And as far as Spuds' mother goes, she was just a low down common druidess.
Whoa. Okay. Yeah.
With who was on a power trip.
Yeah.
Who manipulated my father with potions, with waltzers, as has been mentioned, 99s, various trips, and
Tremor is a very romantic place.
It's the most romantic place in Ireland.
Yeah.
The town of lights.
Yeah.
But there is no proof.
Not denying that Spuds is the rightful heir, though. I mean, if she did seduce him with potions or whatever method she used, that would make Spuds your half-brother and the rightful heir to the throne, I think.
Dave, can Spuds throw a gay bulk, our national spear, thousands of miles across the country and have it strike a tree dead on?
Yeah.
Can you, Spuds? Oh.
Can you?
I actually can.
Can Spuds take on an army of thousands of men all at once with only a slingshot to your name?
I do it every day. Instagram Live. Every day.
You put it up on Instagram, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Spuds, it sounds like you are a talented warrior. Can I ask you if you, well, I suppose you claim you are, but as rightful heir to the throne, would you also be looking to invade the UK when the Queen passes away, God rest her soul, in advance?
No, to be honest, Dave, we're just like a half an hour slot on the BBC every Saturday for me jokes.
Okay, on like the radio or TV?
TV, please.
Okay.
I don't want to do anything to the Owen or our family.
Yeah.
I'd love to invade the BBC.
Okay, but not just invade it with your humour, not like kill anyone or anything.
No, I won't touch them. I won't put my hands on them.
Well, that does seem like a less dangerous route to take. What do you think of that, Pony?
What I think, Dave, is that this person is one of the aforementioned begrudgers I mentioned. You know, the Irish royal family makes themselves known for the first time, and then all these begrudgers and chanters come out of the woodwork looking for half-hour slots in the BBC. When I take over the BBC, it'll be wall-to-wall Angelus. I promise you that.
Okay, yeah, that would go down well this side of the water for sure, because people feel like there's not enough Angelus, you know.
Absolutely, Dave.
What, once a day?
No, this would be, I would envisage the BBC would be just an Angelus
channel,
and various celebrities would of course come in and they do their bit of the Angelus.
Yeah.
It could be a Graham Norton here.
Well, it's funny you should mention celebrities, because Liam Neeson is on the line and he wants to pledge his support.
Hello, how's it going?
Liam, very exciting to have you on the show.
I'm very excited to be on, yeah. It's good. Good.
Well done on the Dairy Girls cameo. We all loved it.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It was a good one, yeah. Love that show. Very good.
So, Liam, why did you feel like you had to come in and pledge your support to King Pony?
Well, I suppose first and foremost, I'm a bit of a scholar of this neck of the woods myself.
Yeah.
And I've read up on it, and I love Pony's family and his work.
But, right.
I do insist that this is made official, and if there are any contenders for the actual true crown of Ireland, that it be made, be set in stone. And it states quite specifically, I don't know if you know this, Dave,
no.
that should there be a challenger to the throne in Ireland, particularly one that involves intimidation with waltzers, you know, there's quite specific protocol for that. And there should be a duel to the death at dawn between your two guests here. And I would like to referee that if that might be on the cards.
There. Absolutely. I can think of no better man, Liam Neeson. You know, he's got a particular set of skills himself. So yeah, I you know what, before you came on, that was what was, it was there in the back of my head. It's like, how are we going to settle this thing? Obviously, settle it the old fashioned way. Duel to the death. When did you say?
At dawn. Preferably. Or, you know, we're flexible. But
But dawn sounds kind of,
dawn is quite good.
Kind of,
it's quite good
quality
for me. We can make a doodle poll or something like that. But I think
let's stick with dawn. Spuds, you up for the challenge?
Do you know what? I'd love to. And I'm going to batter your man.
Good stuff. I like that enthusiasm.
No, you haven't seen nothing yet, everyone.
Okay. What preferred weapon of choice?
I have this tiny little chain mail for a mouse.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to use that, and then I'm going to use maybe a hurl.
That's very traditional.
Listen, I will be prepared.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. Okay, great. Pony, are you happy to accept this challenge?
100%.
Oh, great.
Dave, absolutely.
I thought you might just dismiss this out of hand.
No, it's how all of our ancestors over the years have settled things. We'll find some random forge or, some body of water, and we'll just absolutely take lumps out of each
other.
Okay,
and your weapons of choice?
As I said, the Gay Bulg, the Irish National Spear.
Yes.
It's like a regular spear, but you control much farther,
yeah.
And then when it hits your opponent, it spreads barbed wire in through their insides, and they completely fall apart. And on top of that, I will also have a chainmail vest.
Mouse-sized or...?
Oh, not at all. No,
regular.
This is just one I got a loan from the British Royal Family.
Okay, so you have been friendly with them in the past, have you?
Friendly with Prince Andrew, yes. We've got many common interests and many charitable causes over there, and he lent me his...
Because he
doesn't
nice.
Need it anymore, obviously.
He's kind of...
he's been ostracised.
Out of action, yeah. He won't be having any official duels. Okay, great, guys. So you're going to meet in the morning, spear versus hurl. This is very exciting. Liam, just to bring you back in on this... when all is said and done and the one true king is left standing, will you support them either way? I mean, even if it's Spuds over here.
I'm a man of honour, absolutely. Yeah. And I think I will have a shillelagh on the day for my own protection should things go south.
Okay.
But, yes, I think it states very clear in the prophecy that whoever should win this battle will be entitled to full rulership of Ireland and also a half an hour slot on BBC Three.
Oh, right, so that's kind of guaranteed anyway.
Oh, that's in there as well.
Right,
yeah,
so that would suit Spuds. I wonder, this is all being prophesied?
Oh, it's been prophesied, yeah.
Right, does it say anything about who the winner is likely to be?
No, that's the second volume which we will now write.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I will be taking on the authorship of the second prophecy.
You're writing the prophecy after the fact?
Yeah, it's kind of it's a new thing we're trying.
It's like a
reverse engineered
prophecy.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we're out of time. I want to thank all my callers today, but I especially want to thank Ali Fox, Fionn Foley, and John Morton. Guys, do you have anything you want to plug? Ali?
Yeah, I'm back into the swing of live stand-up now, so I'll be in Lenehan's in Rathmines on the 15th of June.
Amazing. Fionn?
No, nothing at the moment.
No worries. John?
Not a single thing, Dave. Not a single thing.
What about, can people still watch Dead Still?
Oh, people can still watch Dead Still. It's on the RTE player.
Amazing.
So, it can be watched there, I think.
Written by one John Morton?
Yes.
Amazing. Brilliant. Guys, thank you so much. Thank you to the Head Stuff Podcast Network for having us and to Bobby Ahern for our theme music. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
Phoning it in. Phoning it in. If you're in a quandary, you've got dirty laundry, then you should be phoning it in.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.